The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Touch and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you can see, I have." As he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. St. Ignatius Loyola in the Spiritual Exercises gives us this advice in going deep in our prayer life. When you're doing a meditation, it's not in knowing much, but in savoring the truth. Spanish is no es en saber mucho, sino de saborear la verdad. Some of you speak Spanish. Saborear la verdad. I love it in Spanish. Saborear is a beautiful word. In English, we translate saborear into savor or to relish the truth. So often in my meditation, that I do about an hour and a half every morning, is often it's just one idea that jumps out at me. One idea. So the readings today, there's a lot in the readings today. A very long first reading, and the second reading is very long. In the Gospel reading, what jumped out at me is this, how Jesus opened up their minds to understand sacred scripture. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know about you, but that really hit me this morning. That he opened up their minds to understand sacred scripture. So why don't we pray that God would open up our minds to understand sacred scripture? Because most of you people, you read sacred scripture. A lot of you have done the exercise with me. I'm always hounding you to make your holy hour right. But why is it that We read sacred scripture and we don't understand it. Hello? I think it's a good question, right? Because you read sacred scripture, then you put it down and you don't even remember what you read, much less do you understand it. See, all of you nodding to that, yes. So I'd like to give you maybe four or five tips, okay? And like you, I'm a learner too. First, and this is becoming a really good practice in this parish for many years, once you go to confession, what happens is your mind becomes more clear. So there's a greater clarity in your intellect because the blood of Christ has washed your mind clean of the coat of the filth of sin. So people have chosen to live in sin, they're not going to be able to understand sacred scripture well. It's as simple as that. Even though it's the Word of God. The second point is this. To understand sacred scripture, you've got to give yourself time. You have to give yourself time. That's why I really try to promote the holy hour. Being somewhat of an athlete, even in my latter years of life, I know this, that in sports, you have to warm up. I remember years ago I was watching a baseball game, and this would maybe be before your time. There was this guy on the Tigers, his name was Gates Brown. He was about the most muscular baseball player you'd ever meet. He was all muscle. Gates Brown, what a name, huh? He's an Afro-American who was on the Tigers, and the guy, he looked almost like a monster, looked like a plug. They said that he would have to do more warm-up than the others because he had so many muscles. Maybe that's surprising you. The more muscular you are, the more you have to warm up, otherwise you're going to pull a hamstring and you're going to be out for 3 months. We have to warm up spiritually also. One of the reasons probably Aaron Judge, who plays on the Yankees, half of last season he was out, the guy's 6'9", 280 pounds, I mean, maybe didn't warm up enough. I'm not his baseball coach, but he probably should do that before he gets out in the field, otherwise he's going to pull a muscle. So, if you're doing your holy hour, it probably takes you 20 minutes to warm up. Right? Because to go from the active life to the contemplative life, you got to change gears. So if you want to derive profit from the Bible, you have to give yourself time. So give yourself an hour. Now I think if you look at your life, face it, we all waste time. Right? We all waste time on the phone, on TV, chismosas, you know, all these different ways. We waste time. Maybe 50% of our day we waste time. So if you give God 1 hour, He will bless the other 3 hours, 23 hours. Amen? Believe me, it works. And I like what Adrian Rogers says, the Baptist minister, the more work you have to do, the more you have to pray over that. I like that. Adrian Rogers, no? The more work you have to do, the more you have to pray over it that God would bless it. Otherwise, your work is going to be a failure. I heard John Paul II would spend the morning in prayer and study. This is possibly the greatest man in the last century. So the first part of his day was dedicated to the contemplative life, which is prayer and study. Then when you're doing your Bible reading, never rush into it, but first pray to Mary, the Mother of God. Pray to Mary. Say the Hail Mary slowly. Mary pondered the Word of God in her heart. If you want to go to the Greek, what would the Greek be? To ruminate. A ruminate means what a cow is doing with the cud. You ever see a cow, you know, chewing the hay and masticating it, pulverizing it? You ever see a cow? I know what some of you think. I see my kids and my husband, okay? No, you're masticating, you're pulverizing it. So you have to do the same thing with the Word of God. You're mulling over it, okay? You're masticating it, you're pulverizing it. And then, of great importance, is you have to pray to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he opened up their minds so that they could understand. I'm going to be starting a class on the Acts of the Apostles. I invite all of you to come. One of the things I'm going to be talking about is the Holy Spirit and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do we have any catechists here? One of the most difficult things to do is to explain the gifts of the Holy Spirit well. I don't think there's anyone here that could come close, to come close to really explaining the gifts of the Holy Spirit well. You maybe, most of you know half, you can name half of them, no? But explaining them, being a priest and a catechist for many years, is one of the most difficult things to do. And I'm going to try to do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. But one of them is understanding. Understanding, and that's what Jesus did. He helped them to understand sacred scripture. So one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is understanding. Enlightens your intellect so you can understand what you're meaning. Not just read it and say, well, that was kind of nice, but then you go off without any effect in your life. The last thing I'd like to say is, I'll offer you a biblical method that I've composed. If you follow me in my perseverance class, I'm always repeating this, okay? The five steps. Five steps to do a good meditation. Read. Lectio, read. Memorize. I know you're saying, I don't have a good memory. Well, are you going to receive Holy Communion today? Are you? You have the mind of Christ. Ask the Lord to give you a better memory. Our memory is lazy. We have a lazy memory. Okay? Very few people have a good memory because you don't exercise it. When I was a younger priest, I could do 70 push-ups. That's a lot, no? Now maybe I could do 35 on a good day. Because I'm getting old, I haven't practiced, but I could do 70 push-ups. Not the women's style, the men's style, no? But that took many years of practice. So, we have a memory, but our memory is not cultivated. We have a memory. If someone lends you money, you're never going to forget that baby, huh? Right. We remember things we want to remember, okay? Now the third point is general understanding of the text. Okay, the general understanding of the text. Fourth, personal understanding. What is God saying to Patricia? What is God saying to Joe? What is God saying to Jeannie? What is God saying to Robert. God speaks to us all in a different way because we have different cultures, different intellectual formations, different social milieu. For example, I can talk about New York because I'm a New Yorker. You can't, okay? So we all have this different cultural understanding, or rather cultural formation. And the last thing would be practical application. In other words, you put it into practice. Read, memorize, general understanding, personal understanding, practical application. You like that? Okay, did you have it memorized? No, okay. Read, memorize, general understanding, personal understanding, practical application. So I've given you a 20-minute mini course on how to take advantage of the Word of God that we read every day. So let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to plumb the depths of the Word of God. Amen.